What do you think when you think of New Year's Day and Scripture? Philemon, right? Okay, Philemon. I think of Philemon because it sounds like a lot like steak. But Philemon, that's what everyone thinks of at New Year's, right? No, but now you will always think of that because that's what I'm telling you about today. You're going to say, I remember when Pastor Rick said, you know, everybody thinks of Philemon on New Year's Day? Today is the day that I'm going to do that, and now you'll remember it forever. So next year, you will remember this. Why don't you turn to the book of the letter of Philemon? This is probably one page or one and a half pages in your Bible. It's right after Titus, and it's right before Hebrews. So we start off our new year. We usually set high and lofty goals for ourselves of what we want to do. We set resolutions, and they usually last a few weeks. But before we set those goals, we should reflect on who we are right now. Maybe that will help in the future and our planning, and hopefully maybe this letter will even help. This is titled Personally Speaking, and Paul is writing a personal letter to his friend Philemon. I don't think Paul expected this to be considered canon, to be included in our Bible. It was a very personal letter when he wrote this. So he wasn't writing to a group of people. It was right to this one person. See, even when he wrote Timothy, it was to Timothy, but he said, share this. You know, this is for the church. It's for the leadership. But here, this was really for Philemon. So I don't think he wanted this or expected it to be part of this. But the great thing is that it is part of Scripture. So we can look at this and see something personal about Paul. We're going to see his heart. We're going to see how he handles people personally beyond the scriptures that are given out for the body. So the background here is that Philemon lives in Colossae. This is where Paul wrote a letter to the Colossians. That's Colossae, that's where Philemon lived. And he was a fairly wealthy man who had become a Christian. He was a slave owner. And one of his slaves was named Onesimus, and Onesimus ran away from Philemon at some point. So Onesimus hears Paul sharing the gospel, and he becomes a believer in Christ. And this is something that maybe Onesimus could relate to, because at the time, Paul was in Rome. He was under house arrest, but he was allowed to have some freedom. And he always had a guard with him. So when he would go in public and speak, he was probably in chains. And Onesimus probably heard Paul speaking in chains and preaching the gospel and thought, here's a real slave. You know, Onesimus ran away, but here's a man that's in chains, but he's preaching the gospel. And, you know, and he... It probably set him free, but he became a believer. And since he became a believer, he wants to do what's right. And he goes to Paul, and Paul probably says, don't worry, I know who your master is. I know Philemon, because Philemon got saved under my ministry also. Now, we know that Paul had never, up until that point, gone to Colossae and preached up there. So it was probably that Philemon was down in Ephesus, and that's where he heard Paul preaching, and he got saved there, and then went back up to Colossae, and he started a home church up there in Colossae. So Paul knew of Philemon, and now he meets Onesimus. So let's begin our study with Philemon, verse 1, where it says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, Paul makes this personal. He doesn't introduce himself as he did with his other letters as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He isn't announcing himself as explaining that he has the authority to write something. He made this very personal as he's opening up this letter. So it was probably intentional because he knew what he was going to write next when he wrote he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You see, he wanted to set the stage and set the scenario that here I am, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and I'm writing to you about your prisoner, your slave, Onesimus. You see, and he was kind of setting that up here with the wording that he was using. We see that Philemon was a fellow laborer, meaning that he labored for the Lord. His labor wasn't, you know, in tent making, as Paul was a tent maker, but it was about the labor that he did with the Lord. Apphia was his wife, and Archippus was probably their son, who was also a Christian. And when he said a soldier, they were not talking about an army soldier. They're talking about a soldier for the Lord. And Paul uses that picture quite a few times in Scripture where he talks about being a soldier for Christ. So they had a church in their home. That's how church was run up until like 200 AD. There were no churches. It was always groups that met in homes, and that's where the churches were. So this letter wasn't meant to be shared in the church. This wasn't written to the church. This was written specifically to Philemon, although he mentions his wife and his son and the church. It was really just the greeting that he was mentioning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like when you write in a letter to a friend and you say, give my love to the family. That's basically what he's saying. He's just greeting them and saying, you know, greet them in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you look in verse 7, at the end of verse 7, it says, for we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. He's writing to his brother, Philemon. So it's specifically talking to this one person. So we're getting an insight of a letter that Paul wrote to a friend. So that's the way to set up the picture here. So in verse 4, we continue, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. So Paul wasn't puffing Philemon up at this point. He wasn't trying to get on his good side. He was sharing the love of Christ with him. And he was reminding him also of who he's serving and that the faith that he has, the effectual faith, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing within you, it's in Christ Jesus. That's where his faith comes from. That's where it's activated. That's where it's effective. Because of Christ, not because of who Philemon is. So that tells us that even our faith is that way. Our faith is effective because of Christ, not because of us. It isn't our plans that makes our faith powerful. Our faith is only powerful because of Jesus Christ. The love Philemon has for the saints brings Paul joy, and it refreshes him. There's great joy when a pastor sees the flock loving one another and ministering to one another, there's great joy in that, because you can see the power of God being, it's not because of me, it's because of God. And it's because of God working through you to each other. That's something that's joyful. That just reinforces in me what God is doing. It just reminds me that it's not me, you know, because personally, that's not my personality. My personality is more about loving my wife. I mean, that, you know, that's where my focus is, loving my wife. And you get the leftovers. So, you know, I mean, I love y'all, but, you know, after loving my wife, I'm running low on love. But, you know, when we love each other, we demonstrate the love that God has for us. You see, and I only have this abundance of love because it comes from God. Because I wouldn't even have enough love to love my wife the way I do without God. Because we're all self-centered. We're all selfish. If you're not selfish, then you're the exception. And so please pour out some more of that love on us so that we can partake in that. But reality is we are all self-focused. And, you know, that's just how we are and who we are. But when we aren't, and I see it here in this body, that we love each other, we share with each other, we encourage each other, we pray for each other. And that's the love of God being effective. It's being effectual because of our faith and love for Him. And so that's where Paul is really wanting to focus Philemon. Look, you're doing what you're doing because of Jesus Christ and because of your love for Him. And He's using you to share that love with your church, your home church there. So Paul sees that same result in Philemon's ministry where he gets right to the point. And in verse 8, he says, "Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me." So Paul could use his position and his influence and say, "Look, I'm the apostle Paul. You know, just listen to what I'm telling you and do what I'm telling you because I've got a connection, you know, and you don't want me to have to use my connection, you know, to mess things up for you." He could have said that. You know, he could have said, you know, "Look, I'm Paul. And I am working for the Lord. And I heard from the Lord and He said, do this." You know, but Paul isn't doing that. He's talking to him as a friend. He's being a little forceful, but he's talking to him as a friend. Instead, he appeals to him, wanting the decision to be made by Philemon, not out of obligation, but out of love. He wants Philemon to say, "You know what, that is the right thing to do, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to handle it that way." Paul, again, mentions that he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ here. But he wasn't being forced into following Jesus Christ. Quite often we consider a prisoner is someone that is captured and chained and locked up, and they're being forced into being a prisoner. But Paul was not that. He was a voluntary prisoner. Oh, yeah. On the road to Damascus, he had a light come down and interrupt his life. But he could have decided not to obey. He could have decided, "You know what, I'm going to do what I'm going to do." You know, but he didn't. and he's doing what the Lord, and he considered himself a prisoner of the Lord because he knows that that's where the truth is. So, you know, he's going to do what the Lord wants him to do. You know, our kids growing up kind of felt like prisoners, you know, because they couldn't do whatever they wanted to do whenever they wanted to do it. They had to listen to mom and dad, you know, and there were times where they let us know they felt like prisoners, you know, that you know, it wasn't, you know, what they expected. You know, they wanted things to be a little different. And now they're on their own, and things are a little different because they realize that they were never prisoners. They were given the blessings of being in our home, of being loved by us, nurtured and cared for. And they had their every need met. Every need met, not every desire met, because they would have wanted a new iPhone every 6 months, not every 3 years, you know? And so, you know, to them, what's important is different from what we recognize is what really is important for them. Same thing for us. God knows what's best for us, knows what's important for us. So we submit ourselves to him so that we can be blessed. Sometimes we don't recognize, sometimes we're like, no, I want this, Lord. No, I don't want that. You know, that's not the job I want. No, that's not, you know, I often pray, that's not the family I wanted. You know, what's wrong with my family? Couldn't you come up with a better, you know, and the fact is that my family is just fine. They're, God is using me to impact their lives. You know, not because I go there and I tell them what to do, but I just live the example, and hopefully they get to see it because they know who I am. You know, my family knows, they remember things that I don't remember, and they bring them up to me sometimes. You know, remember when you did this? No, I do not remember that. Paul is talking to Philemon. He's writing a letter to him as a friend. And he knows things about Philemon. He knows about his past. And, you know, he was probably the guy that personally led Philemon to the Lord. And so he knows the inner workings of his heart. So, you know, as he's writing this to him, he's also considering those things. And we'll see that more in this letter. But God doesn't force anyone to become Christians. He doesn't force anyone to believe in him or to love him. That's not who God is. But once we believe, we should behave like we believe. It should impact our lives, because if we truly believe, it will change us. Not because we're going to follow scripture and say, okay, now it says I have to stand on one leg. And no, that's not what the scriptures are about. The scriptures are pointing us to the truth. And because we want to follow the truth, because we want to believe in what God tells us to believe in, we do that. And we see the impact that it has on our lives. Quite often, people take the things that they like out of the Bible, and that's what they apply to their lives. You know, they want all the good things the Bible has to say, but none of the bad things. You know, I want all the blessings, but I don't want to be chastised for anything I do wrong. Come on, God, I'm only human. You know, so you know how weak I am. So just bless me instead. Can't live like that. You can't live on pastries. Although I've tried. I love pastries. I love bagels. Can't live on bagels alone. You know, you need to have the full meal. And sometimes it's broccoli. you know, and I don't really, you know, I don't like broccoli that much, but I know it's good for me, so I'll eat it. And I know some of the other vegetables are good. Some of the vegetables just are not even good for me, so I don't even touch them. Brussels sprouts, who came up with that? Who decided to eat a Brussels sprout? I don't know. But I do know that there's some good food that I can eat that'll keep me healthy. And I do that. I mix up my diet so that I'm doing what I'm supposed to. The same thing in the Word of God. I need to get the full balance of the meal. And so when I'm fully balanced, I can feel it spiritually. It has an impact in my life. You know, and when I eat the right foods and I'm feeling it, it has a positive impact on how my week goes, you know, how even my day goes, because I'm eating the right, I'm you know, filling myself with the right stuff. Spiritually, we're the same way. We need to feed ourselves spiritually with the right food, and in doing that, it gets us spiritually healthy. It makes us spiritually sensitive to the things of God. And so we can react when we need to react. So we can know God's will in our own lives. And Paul is really trying to reveal something to Philemon here. And he's trying to use Onesimus to do that. So there is one thing I'm convinced of in the scriptures. You cannot say you're a follower of Christ and deny him by the way you live your life. You can't say, hey, I'm a follower of Christ, and well, you know, why are you doing that then? Well, I know this to be true of my own life. Once I became a Christian, my whole life changed. You know, at first it changed drastically because I was so much not a Christian that, you know, the change was immediate. The things that just left my life were immediate. And that's not in everyone's case, but in my case, it was. God knew what I couldn't handle, and he took away the things that I couldn't handle and replaced them with the things of him. But years went by, and I kind of started doing what I wanted to do again, and I thought I was in control again. But I was never content. I was never happy. I never felt that peace that I had when I was focused on the Lord. So I ended up being miserable, a miserable Christian. I wasn't enjoying anything about my Christian life. And that's when I knew. The sad part is the Holy Spirit is not going to leave you just because you're doing something wrong. Instead, he's going to remind you that you're doing something wrong. And when he's reminding me on a daily basis, it just wasn't comfortable at all. And I had a miserable life there for a while until I knew what I should be doing. And I said, I'm going to commit myself to doing the right thing again. And I still couldn't do it. Do you know why? I'm Rick Ponzo. I'm a human. I'm an idiot at times. And not anymore. Now I'm just about perfect. But, okay, don't ask Cheryl if that's true. But I still have my idiotic tendencies. You see, and I know the only way that I'm going to overcome those is through Jesus, is through his Holy Spirit ministering to me, through me, into the world. And then I can overcome those things, but it's only if I allow him to do that. If I keep standing firm in my rights, I have rights. No, you don't. You're a prisoner. As a Christian, we're prisoners, and we have no rights. But God is going to bless us because we've committed ourselves to him, because we're voluntary prisoners for him. I knew I needed to make a change, but I couldn't do it myself. So I gave it to my Savior, and he made the changes. Paul reminds Philemon that he too is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But he appeals now to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, who was unprofitable, he says, to Philemon because he ran away. He's unprofitable. But now Onesimus is profitable to Paul and to Philemon. Now, because he's a believer, because he's a follower, he is profitable. And in verse 12, it says, I'm sending him back to you. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So Paul sent Onesimus back to face his master, and Onesimus was willing to go because he was now a believer. And he knew that it was the right thing for him to go back. He wished he could have kept Onesimus because he was ministering to him. He wished he could have said, hey, just stay with me. I'll write the letter. We'll send it off, and we'll let Philemon know what's going on. And, you know, he'll be good. But that could have caused problems if he did that. But instead, Paul did the right thing. He sent him back with the letter and said, here, go settle up with Philemon, and then we'll see where things go after that. You know, it's a lot easier to ask for forgiveness than it is permission. You know, when you do something that maybe you know you shouldn't be doing, you know, and then after you do it, you say, well, forgive me for doing that. No, you knew you shouldn't have done that in the first place, but you did it anyway. Because you knew if you asked for permission, you probably weren't going to get it. You know, Mom, I'm sorry I ate the cookies. You know, well, you knew you weren't allowed to eat cookies. Yeah, but I'm still sorry. No, you're not. But, okay, you know, I get it. Well, Paul was doing what was right. He was sending Philemon back so that he could settle up, because if he didn't, there was always going to be that tension there, you know, or just maybe Philemon would have forgiven and would have been okay with it, but you never know, because people are funny. And we're people, so we're kind of funny too. And you know, sometimes we don't say exactly what we're thinking. I hope we don't always say what we're thinking, because, you know, sometimes what we're thinking isn't very good. And I know that to be true, because God convicts me when I'm not thinking good things. You know, when I'm thinking about someone thinking, why did that person do that? You know, God's like, well, you don't know what's going on with that person's life right now. You know, you don't know why that guy just cut you off and sped off and waving at you, you know, and in an unfriendly way. You know, you don't know what's going on in that person's life. And so, you know, and so I have a lot more grace. All right, I have a little more grace for people on the road. I have a little more grace for people in my life now, because I'm one of them. I'm one that can rub someone the wrong way at times. And so are you. All of us are. So that's the way God shapes us. And it's kind of like the rough wood. You get a splinter if you run your hand across rough wood, but if you sand it, you know, then you get it nice and smooth and it feels nice and everything and it's good. Well, we're all sandpaper and wood, and we're all rubbing each other, you know, to the point where we're all going to be smoothed out eventually. And that'll be a good thing. The people in the world, they're all rough wood. And it's like trying to take fine sandpaper and rubbing like the bark of a tree. You're just not going to be able to make any impact on that. You know, but that's okay. That's a picture. Some of you are thinking, what in the world is he talking about? You know, but some of you understand exactly what I'm talking about, because you're 60 grit. And I know that, you know what I'm talking about there. So here, Paul is writing to Philemon, and he wants to smooth this all over before it gets out of control. So in verse 17, it says, "If you then count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account." So Paul's saying, hey, if Onesimus did anything that cost you anything, put it on my account. Okay, that's on me then. And, you know, let's just go forward from here. In verse 19, he says, "I, Paul, am writing with my own hand." Now, mostly Paul didn't write his own letters, okay? And it's believed because he had an eyesight problem from an incident that he had on the road to Damascus, okay? And so he never really gained fully his eyesight back. That was the thorn that was in his side that he asked for three times for the Lord to heal him. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." That's why people think that this is an indication that it had something to do with his hand, his eyes, because he didn't write his own letters. And so it says here, "I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say." There's nothing more valuable than our salvation. And although Paul led Philemon to the Lord, we know that salvation isn't of men. It's not because of Paul, it's because of Jesus Christ that he was saved. But Paul reminds him, it's through the ministry that I have, that God has given to me, that you are saved. You listen to what I shared with you, and you're saved. So, you know, you owe me something for that. Now, you wouldn't say that to a stranger, but you would say that to a friend. You know, you may be able to communicate that and get away with it if it's someone that's close to you, that's a friend. And that's why I think that there was a relationship that was built there already between the two of them. He's not laying a guilt trip on him at all. This is one friend to another. Paul closes his letter saying, "But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, that for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, and my fellow laborers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." So this is a short letter, a glimpse of Paul's love, not only for Philemon, but for all people. You know, Onesimus was a slave. Interestingly enough, there was a pastor of the church of Ephesus in 110 AD named Onesimus. If he was a slave here at 20 years old or something like that, that would fit because he would be around 70 years old as a pastor. And Ignatius wrote about him in extra-biblical writings about this pastor named Onesimus that was there in the church in Ephesus. So it very well could be that Onesimus, you know, was raised up and trained up and then became a pastor there. So we can see that there may have been something positive that came out of this. This letter does not promote slavery at all. And Paul isn't promoting slavery and saying, well, you know, you're a slave, so you're going to have to go back and be a slave and so on and so forth. What he's basically saying is we're all slaves to Jesus Christ because what he has done for us, it cost him everything. So we're set free by what he has done for us. And I would rather be a slave to Jesus Christ than a slave to the world, because without him, I am a slave to the world. Whatever the world has to offer, I have to follow whatever the world is doing. And the world is out of control right now, if you haven't noticed. And it's not going to get better because men are running the world, not God. We can see that by the vote against Israel just last week, when the United States decided not to support Israel. Woe unto us. Because if we're not supporting them, then we can expect the wrath of God on our country also. You know, we're blessed if we bless them, but we're cursed if we curse them. And I believe that it was a very bad move not to support them at the UN. And so we could be seeing trouble in the future. But the good news is we're all followers of Jesus Christ, so no matter what happens, it's not going to impact our eternity. We're going to enter in, and we will spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we enter the new year, it's a great time to change our attitudes towards people, just like Paul was trying to do here with Philemon, with Onesimus. We're trying to change attitudes, and that's what we should be doing in our own lives. We should be changing our attitudes towards others, and we should be demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ, because he gave that to us freely. So since he set us free, shouldn't we also accept others freely? Once we establish who we are in Christ, it becomes easier to set our goals for the future, because our goals should be completely in line with the will of God. And so once we have our heart set, our desires set on the things of God, everything else falls into place. That doesn't mean everything becomes perfect. It means that God is able to accomplish his will in and through us, and we are going to be blessed in the good times and the bad. We will be blessed. May our New Year's goals begin and end with a closer relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.